Corruption in the U.S. Customs Service. That story when we continue with All Things Considered from NPR News. This is All Things Considered from NPR News. I'm Robert Siegel.
And I'm Jackie Lydon. Along the United States' southwest border, guards patrol the gateways to the richest illegal drug market and the biggest undocumented labor pool in the world. Federal investigators say the enormous sums of money in the smuggling trade are corrupting U.S. border agents in alarming numbers. The Treasury and Justice Department say they're both trying to do more to root out dirty agents, but they're only catching a fraction of them. NPR's John Burnett has the second installment in this special investigation, Corruption at the Gates.
Ramon Torres was an agent's agent. As a senior supervisor in the U.S. Customs Service, his smuggling task force in El Paso seized more than 100 tons of marijuana over 4 years, winning the coveted commissioner's citation. Last month, Torres began serving 10 years in federal prison for bribery. His case shows how high corruption reaches in the federal force guarding America's southern border, and how easy it is for a good agent to go bad in this temptation-rich environment. Drug smugglers like remoteness. They like ugly, hard-to-get-to places that nobody else wants to visit. They found all this at a desolate spot 20 miles downriver from El Paso. Jim Frankson is the Customs Internal Affairs Special Agent who worked the Ramon Torres case.
We're just south of San Elizario, Texas, right along the Rio Grande River. And we're at a location called the Grijalva Gate area. Through the gate, the van would come right down to the river's edge, where it would meet up with a crew that was working for Ramon's informant.
Torres's informant was a low-level trafficker in the Juarez cartel who was being paid by the U.S. to feed information on drug lords and drug loads to federal agents. But Torres was working both sides of the river. The informant would deliver one load into the hands of the U.S. government, usually poor quality or water-damaged marijuana the smugglers considered expendable. Torres would get credit for a big dope bust on the river. In return, he'd let the informant cross the next load, the good stuff, to sell for profit. Frankson says Torres used his authority to make sure the shipments made it safely away from the river.
His primary job was to make sure that the load of drugs departed this area without being stopped by other law enforcement.
So for a drug smuggler, you couldn't have a better friend than Ramon Torres.
You couldn't have a better friend, because Ramon would say that basically he owned the river.
The anti-drug agent and the drug smuggler, who called each other compadre, each got what they wanted. With Torres as his partner, the trafficker earned fabulous profits, $500,000 in 1 year. He wore tailored suits, drove a gleaming new Mercedes, and gambled in Las Vegas, staying at the Bellagio. As for Ramon Torres, the 48-year-old super agent, the payoff was the prestige. In the late 1990s, his group was the most productive in terms of seizures in the entire Customs Service. The bribes came later, says Frankson.
He told us during some of the debriefings that he was actually addicted. He got a thrill from making the seizures, and it's something that he craved. That later developed into a situation where he was willing to take money, at least $80,000 from an informant for a couple of crossings of marijuana in this very spot that we're standing.
The case was complicated and sensitive because it involved a popular, high-ranking agent. It took 2 years to crack. Ultimately, Torres, two other agents in his group, and two drug informants all pled guilty. Bill Kiefer, chief of Customs Internal Affairs, calls the Ramon Torres case troubling.
He essentially corrupted his group. That's a sad example of how corruption leeches the virtue out of an organization.
Washington is aware there's trouble in the borderlands. In 1999, the General Accounting Office issued a report warning that federal employees involved in the drug trade are, quote, a serious and continuing threat. 3 years later, Glenn Fine, Inspector General of the Justice Department, says corruption within the INS, the largest border agency, remains persistent and serious.
The presence along the southwest border by the INS has increased dramatically over the last several years. It's more than doubled. And with more people, with more inspectors and agents, comes more allegations. And the damage that corrupt agents can do is enormous.
Nearly 15,000 inspectors and agents are stationed on the southwest divide. Officials say the federal hiring boom in the 90s resulted in sloppy background checks. One El Paso police official describes the situation not as bad apples, but as bad barrels. Mindful of the growing problem, the Justice Department created four anti-corruption task forces in San Diego, Tucson, El Paso, and McAllen. Today, 50 agents work full-time policing the border police. INS and Customs together open an average of 53 new corruption cases a year involving drug or alien smuggling and bribery, according to figures provided by the agencies. But Glenn Fine complains that with 1,500 allegations against the INS every year, his limited staff can only look into the most serious.
I do believe that there is significant corruption that is going on that is not being uncovered. I think there, in an agency, in an environment where there are incredible temptations, that there are concerted efforts to corrupt federal employees.
The immigration inspectors who work at the ports of entry understand these enticements all too well.
You're God on the line. All you got to do is wave somebody through, and nobody's going to know.
Mario Ramirez was an INS inspector for 8.5 years on the bridge in Eagle Pass, Texas, before becoming a special anti-smuggling agent. He says interviewing drivers is hot, tedious, thankless work, and all the inspectors would like to make better money. But when one of them takes a bribe, it dishonors all the honest ones.
For people to belittle your work, it upsets you. It upsets you. It's a black eye on everybody. But by the same token, if a guy's abusing the badge, he needs to go to jail more so than anybody else.
Critics believe the agencies are catching too few compromised inspectors. Both the current Inspector General of the Justice Department and his predecessor, Michael Bromwich, told NPR the INS has been unresponsive to recommendations to reform its culture and punish dishonest employees more swiftly. An INS spokesman defended the agency, saying its internal controls are adequate and corruption among its personnel is not a significant problem. For its part, the U.S. Customs Service, which is under the Treasury Department, has earned praise for cracking down on corrupt agents. In Washington, it brought in a tough Miami federal prosecutor as head of internal affairs. At the ports of entry, drug dogs are deployed to sniff vehicles while they're still in line before they can drive to a crooked inspector. Even with these controls, though, Customs Special Agent Jim Frankson says he believes corruption is entrenched on the southern border.
It is systemic. Obviously, because we are seeing quite a bit of it, and I'm sure there's more than we are seeing. Any Border Patrol agent that works this area, any inspector that works at the port, any supervisor like Ramon Torres in his position, has the ability to manipulate and take advantage of the system.
With America's war against terrorism, there's now a national security dimension to corruption at the nation's gates. The game has changed, says the author of the 1999 report on border bribery, adding, today a dirty inspector doesn't know what's in the car or truck he's waving through. John Burnett, NPR News, El Paso.